Well, it's good again to see everyone here this morning. Got a map up here. I wasn't sure if it was going to work or not, but that'll be a little bit more helpful to us in our lesson this morning, so we can kind of see where we're talking about through this lesson. This lesson is not involved a lot of different books of the Bible this morning. We're going to mainly be in Acts. And we're going to look at a few passages dealing with Paul's first journey. So this morning, let's go on that journey. We'll start in Antioch of Syria, which I don't know, I don't think the mouse is hooked up. I don't know, do I have a pointer on this thing? Here's Antioch of Syria over here on the left-hand side of the screen. It'll be your right-hand side, I guess. Now I'm going to be backwards. But anyway, it's over on that side of the screen. And we'll go on that journey with our brothers in Christ, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. We'll read of the places where they went and some of the events that took place on this journey. We'll look at some of these places on the map to get a better idea of where the places are and have a little bit of commentary on each one of them. First, we're going to look, though, at the two men that we're going on this journey with. First, let's look at Barnabas. We read of Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. So if you would turn to Acts chapter 4, this is where we first see Barnabas. Acts chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as everyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas, by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, which Cyprus is that first little island on the map up here that we see, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see that he is one of the brethren that sold land and laid it at the apostles' feet here in Acts chapter 4. Next we see Barnabas in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we'll read 26 and 27. We also see Saul here. But Barnabas is also mentioned here with Saul. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. The disciples were afraid of Saul, except for Barnabas, who we find took Saul to the apostles. Next we find Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. If you would turn over to Acts chapter 11, and we'll start at verse 19. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution which arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews only. I'm not sure Phoenicia's on this map. I think that's over farther, but I'll have to look at another map to clarify that. And Cyprus, I believe, is way over off the left-hand side there. No, not Cyprus. The other one's over there. Anyway, verse 20. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem, And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came to see the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when they had found him, they brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Jerusalem's about 300 miles from Antioch, farther south than where that compass is on the map. So Jerusalem's about 300 miles away from. So that's a pretty good stretch when you don't have a car or an airplane and you're walking or riding on a camel or a donkey or something like that. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to these brethren dwelling in Judea. And they also did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch, and he encouraged them. Likewise, it is said of him in verse 24 that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. We also see that relief was sent from the brethren in Antioch to the elders in the land of Judah, or Jerusalem, by the hands of Barnabas. We also see Barnabas mentioned in Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. Acts 12, 25. And we also see Saul here. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Here we see Barnabas and Saul returning from their taking relief to Judea, and this is just before they leave on the first journey. Now we'll take a moment to look at Saul, who is also called Paul. So I don't want, everybody probably already knows that, but this morning we're not going to look at depth into Paul because that would take several weeks to go over all the things that Paul did. However, we will look at some of the things that happened in his life up to the point of the first journey. We see Saul, or Paul, at the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. This is the first place we read of Saul. And actually, Tarsus is on the map. It's just northwest of Antioch there. So this is where Saul was from. Acts chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This is Stephen. And said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And when they cast him out of the city, they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc in the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now we see here that Saul is making havoc in the church, dragging brothers and sisters in Christ off to prison. And next we see Saul in Acts chapter 9. And we'll start at verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And everyone that was in the class this morning, and we were talking about Joseph and his willingness to do exactly what God said when God told him to do it, and Abraham's willingness to do what God said exactly when he told him to do it, we're going to read about Paul doing exactly what Jesus told him to do right when he told him to do it. So let's start in chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. In Acts 26 and verse 13, Paul says that this light was brighter than the sun. Then he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he trembled and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." Another person who's going to do just exactly what the Lord said. He has a few reservations, but he does it anyway. Verse 11, so the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority with the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul," and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose, and he was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And then we pick up again where we read about Saul and Barnabas. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, and they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was the disciple. Saul sees Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus tells Saul what to do, and he does it as he is told. A man named Ananias is then told to go to Saul because he is a chosen vessel to bear his name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Saul is then baptized. In verse 20, we see immediately he went and preached the Christ in the synagogues. The Jews plotted to kill him, and the disciples helped him escape by lowering him down through the wall in a large basket. We then come to verse 26, where again we find Barnabas and Saul. We see the two together in Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, which we read, and again in Acts chapter 25, 12 and verse 25, just before they leave on the first journey. Now let's go on that first journey with Saul and Barnabas. This journey is approximately 1,250 miles in length and may have lasted several years. And again, 1,250 miles walking, riding on a donkey, maybe a camel, we're not told. Needless to say, they didn't get in a car or an airplane and fly around to these places. If you would turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And we're going to start on the map at Antioch of Syria. I read somewhere that there were several Antiochs, and we're only going to talk about two of them this morning, but Antioch of Syria. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Now Antioch had a population, I'm not in the Bible here, Antioch had a population of about 500,000 people, and again 300 miles north of Jerusalem. And there must have been a good-sized church there because they had several teachers and prophets, a few of which are Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So Seleucia is just 15 miles southwest, approximately 15 miles southwest of Antioch, Syria. It's a seaport town, and it's the place where Paul and Barnabas set sail on their first journey. From there, they sailed to Cyprus. Verse 5 of Acts 13. And when they arrived in Samalus, if I'm pronouncing that right, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, which is on the other side of the island, and this is about roughly 100 miles between these two cities, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, which is also this Bar-Jesus that we read about a couple of verses ago, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, and this is where he's called Paul from this point on, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And get what he told this guy. And he said in verse 10, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga, in Pamphylia. And without a mouse, this may be hard. Where's the little arrow? Pamphylia is this region right down here, below Pisidia. And let's see, we'll pick back up in verse 13. And John departed from there and returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, which is up there between those three lakes. And this Antioch is approximately 100 miles from Perga. We'll read here in a minute that Paul gave a sermon here in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and Paul and Barnabas fled here for fear of being stoned. In verse 14, let's see. But when they departed from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and motioned with his hand and said, Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul the son of Kish and a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as a king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. For this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which they read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. And it is also written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore he also says in another Psalm, You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, It is necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So Iconium is there in the country of Galatia, the region of Galatia. And chapter 14. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. So next they went to Lystra, which is just about 20 miles from Iconium. Now we'll pick up in chapter 14 and verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observed him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight and walk." Stand up straight on your feet, excuse me. And he leaped up and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men, the same men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the seas and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filled our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, which is just southeast of Lystra. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attila, and from there they sailed to Antioch. So they almost returned the exact way. They didn't stop in Cyprus as they went back to Antioch. Now, let's see, we'll pick up in verse 26 again. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. A lot of things happened on this journey. I would say that the most important thing that occurred is that many people were converted to Christ, and the gospel was spread throughout the region. One thing that is helpful to us is that Paul is still teaching us today. Anytime we read the book of Acts or the letters that Paul wrote, we're still able to learn from him the things that we must do to make us pleasing in the Lord's sight. If you would turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We will look at something that the Apostle Paul wrote the Romans, that we're still learning today. Chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That's the conclusion of our lesson this morning. If there's somebody here who has not obeyed the gospel of Christ, we are told what we must do in order to be pleasing in his sight, to have our sins forgiven us. Now, right now, our baptistry doesn't have any water in it, but I'm sure that we will do our level best to find a place. If there's someone here this morning that wants to be baptized, we will locate enough water to bury you in baptism so that you can have your sins washed away and you can start living a life that's righteous in the eyes of God. We can't live a life of righteousness or a life of good by what we think. We are not the standard. God's Word is the standard. We must live according to His will and His commandments. If there's anyone here that we can help this morning in that way, we would encourage you to come forward. If there's someone here this morning that has obeyed the gospel and has fallen away or needs the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well, if you will come forward as we stand and sing.